So between the gospel and the second reading, I think that word love is there 15 times, 16 times, where Jesus is commanding us, St. John is reminding us of this invitation to love. This is my command, love one another. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Remain in my love. This passage from John 15 is a continuation from what we heard last Sunday about the vine and the branches, where he repeated that phrase, to remain in me. This exposition, we can say, of the heart of Jesus as he's giving his Last Supper discourse to his closest followers. He knows what's about to happen. This is at the Last Supper. He just washed their feet, and now he's explaining to them what it means to love to the end. And he'll leave the room and go to the garden. This is where we are in the sequence of the scriptures. This place in the gospel, where we can only imagine how intimate that setting was, when Jesus is revealing his sacred heart. We can say it's an exposition. Like we have the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament on the altar for adoration, in that very same way Christ is exposing his sacred heart to us through the scriptures in a very special way today. Remain in my love. This word love that gets thrown around and used so frequently, or maybe I should say misused so frequently in our world, that maybe we don't even know what the word means. We are so wrapped up in feelings and passions and emotions that we ascribe those to the word love. That love becomes a feeling. Love is an expression of my feelings. How many lives have been ruined? How many families have been disrupted for following a misuse of the word love? Jesus is the expression of the Father's love. And this is why the crucifix is a central part of our faith, and why it must remain always. It should be in our homes. It should be in our sanctuaries. It should be in our heart. How does God love? He loves them to the end. He loved them to the end of the crucifix. He gave everything. What did he tell us? That the slave doesn't know, but a friend does. I have told you everything that my Father has told me. Love holds nothing back. Love shares completely. We can think about erotic, passionate love, which is a good thing. It drives us outside of ourselves. It takes us out of the selfishness of my own self-pleasure and drives me to want to have something else, to give myself to something else. But the effect of original sin and concupiscence says I go out of myself and I want to possess that thing. And that's where love turns into lust, where I want to use this thing as an object for my own desires. Christ shows us what true love is. It's a going out of myself, completely giving myself away for the other. And so we say that love is willing the good of the other for the sake of the other. It is good that you exist. When I say I love you, I'm saying it is good that you exist, and I want you to exist forever. So everything I do, every choice I make, every word I say, every thought I think is for your good. And we know through Revelation the greatest good is heaven. So when I love, when I answer this command to love, I desire each one of you to go to heaven. And I will do nothing willfully to distract you from that pursuit. This is the love the Lord is inviting us into. This very heart of who he is, the Father and the Son, the Trinitarian love, a complete gift to each other. And the love that they give is the Holy Spirit. And this is the love that we were baptized into in the sacrament of baptism, where St. Paul would tell us that while we were still yet sinners, through the Holy Spirit, the love of God was poured into our soul. And this is how we can remain in his love. It does seem impossible. It does seem unimaginable. In a way, we can say that it is. It's only by God's grace, because this is a continuation from last week. And last week he said, without me, you can do nothing. So it's only in this relationship with the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit that we can do this. And while it seems he's asking of us the impossible, the Lord is only asking us to do what we were created for. We were created to be in communion with the Father forever. This is what he's inviting us into. This is what he's revealing to us through this exposition of the love. Love one another as I have loved you. What a beautiful meditation Mother Church gives us as we continue through this joyful season of Easter, as we are rejoicing in the new life. And that's what he said, I'm telling you these things so that your joy will be complete. Keep my commandments and your joy will be complete. So we can work backwards. If we want our joy to be complete, we keep his commandments. The commandments are in place to help us to love. Just like this hand railing is here to help us up the stairs. It's not there to prevent us, it's there to assist us. The commandments assist us in our pursuit of love. They keep us on the right track. Just this week, I was with the seventh graders and we went on a field trip. We're riding roller coasters. I sat in the seat, that little metal bar came down. That's the commandment to keep me in my seat. It kept me in the right place. So I was able to enjoy the ride. My joy was complete on Thursday as I was going circles and backwards, and it was lots of fun. But without that commandment, I wouldn't have survived. I wouldn't have been able to have my joy complete without that restraining. So it didn't keep me from having fun. It didn't prevent me from enjoying. It allowed me to. This is what the commandments do for us. They set us on the right path. We are entered into this relationship in our baptism. And it's through the sacramental grace we receive each time we receive the sacraments that allow us to remain in this love. We sang in the responsorial psalm that the Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. And again, the power of love, the power of the crucifix. But in a very special way, especially for our children who are receiving their first communion, the power of God, the power of love revealed to us through the Holy Eucharist. This is how God revealed his power, the power of his love, the power of his reconciliation. As John said in the second reading, he was sent for expiation of our sins. It's through his complete and total self-gift in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. This is what you've been preparing to receive, the fullness of God's love. What a glorious day this is for you and for the church. How beautiful it is that you are now able to receive the Holy Eucharist. This is why God created you. It's through the Eucharist that you are in communion with God. That's what we call it, communion. Through the Holy Eucharist, we become one with God. And this is why you were created. And so the body of Christ is more complete now that you get to receive the Holy Eucharist. It's a joyous day for you, I'm sure. It's a joyous day for us as a church as well. What a beautiful gift that we have to be here with you as you receive the Holy Eucharist. And so the command that Jesus gave us to remain in my love, remain in his love, remain with the Holy Eucharist. Come to Mass every week and receive the Holy Eucharist. Go to confession when you need to, but live your life founded, centered on the Holy Eucharist. This is what will make you happy, and this is what will make your joy complete. So praise God that we're here with you today. I'm praying for you, and I'm excited that you'll get to receive the Holy Eucharist today. So let's make sure we pray for these kids in a very special way today and for the rest of their lives as they are now fully initiated into the body of Christ.